Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report, where we cover the stock market and we cover investing through the millennial lens. Now, this is going to be a fun episode. We got a lot to get to. It's the end of the month, the end of the quarter, both of which have been very profitable for Armor Report members and partners and investors. What we're doing here is we're addressing the market through the millennial lens. This is not your dad's stock market. It's certainly not your granddad's. It's a millennial market, and you've got to use millennial tools if you want to excel. And so what we do on this show today and every show at 12 o'clock every day of the week is we share information directly off our trading desk where we're managing real capital. And the information focuses on the interaction between fundamental analysis and millennial execution. There's different ways. When we say millennial execution, we like to use as the cornerstone our algorithmic approach. Algorithms dominate execution on the markets today. It's a necessity if you want to avoid being taken advantage of by market behavior. We also use exchange-traded funds as a way to invest and a way to do research. There's just such an abundant amount of information coming at you from every angle as an investor. The question is, how do you sift through all of that sand and find a couple of nuggets of gold? Your dad and granddad didn't have to worry about that. It was much, much easier for them. All they had to do was focus on the fundamental side, read as much as they could research report-wise, talk to management teams, make investments. There weren't day traders muddying up the waters and playing on your fear-greed response. There wasn't constant information in an email box. There wasn't even such thing as email and internet. And I've seen this happen over and over to investors. And maybe you're one of these investors. When I say this, look in the mirror. Maybe it's you. Maybe this is what's happening to you. And it's getting in the way of your profitability. You're seeing so many pieces of information come at you in the millennial age that it's stymied your ability to invest correctly. And it's really not your fault. I mean, since the dawn of time, fear and greed have driven the investment decision. And it behooves every investor to get that fear-greed response under control, to avoid having that affect your decision-making, and to come up with a plan for investing, for retirement investing, or what have you, without fear and greed entering the picture. That's a lot harder to do now when you have so much information thrown at you from so many different angles, all designed to create that fear-greed response. Hey, we've been captured in that problem too, and that's really why we began to aggressively develop algorithms on our trading desk here. We're all susceptible to normal human emotion. But when you're sitting down at the table and you're facing off against algorithms that are meant to take advantage of your human emotion, it can get ugly. And so you need a lightsaber, so to speak, to protect yourself against the dark side. A little too dramatic, maybe. But hey, I'm having fun. I hope you are too. All right, we like to get to the first part of the show is we like to, you know, attack the news stories of the day and see if they have any impact on our algorithms to see whether or not the cacophony of news should change our investment approach. And really, there's nothing new today. This week was the Fed announcement. There's, you know, the news cycle has been dominated by Kavanaugh, and I addressed that yesterday. I'm not going to go into it today. None of it has any real impact on the stock market. But let's, if there's anything that had an impact, it would be the Fed. And so let's go back and review what I said in the last couple of trading sessions. The day of the Fed meeting, the market sold off. Totally typical. As my friend and colleague likes to say, the market's always trying to get you off the bus. So the Fed meets, it goes up for half an hour, the market, then it craters into the close just to shake out the weak shareholders. And I tweeted out at the end of the day, you've got to see what happens tomorrow before you make any real decisions. It's not the day of the news. And typically, if you go back and look over a series of months and years of Fed announcements, it is so typical that the market, if it's down the day of the Fed announcement, it's up the next day and makes new highs in the following couple days. And if it continues to follow that pattern, then that's the way you need to invest and not be shaken by news stories of Fed changing their policy and, you know, trying to read tea leaves. This is not about reading tea leaves. It's about making money in the market we're in right now, reading and reacting to what we've got. And so we use our algorithms to help us with that. Okay. And so, you know, again, I always mention you can follow me on Twitter. It's important that you do, because I do update that at the end of the day, usually around 3:30, if there's something really important to help you get in the correct position by day's end, or certainly get yourself thinking the right way for the next day. And so I said, look, you got to wait till tomorrow. And that was yesterday. So tomorrow was Thursday, and the day after the Fed meeting, and the markets were higher. Typical. And it'd be real interesting to see if the markets can move to new highs by the end of the day. I don't know. I mean, look, what we're doing is reading and reacting. So we take all of the news of this week, and instead of guessing what's happening, what we do is we realize we're in a major uptrend. That uptrend's been in place since the 5th of July for the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ 100, all of which are still in their positions. The markets continue to grind higher, and our algorithms suggest that we stay focused on those indexes. Okay. That's the positive. Let's get to some of the negative. I'm very concerned with the small cap index and what that might be saying about the market going forward. It's a strange thing to have the Fed raising rates and bank stocks breaking down, and financial stocks make up about 25% of the small cap index, IWM. So if financials are going down, IWM suffers, and they're really going down. And our strategy, when we talked about this last week, we were 100% out of the small cap investment side of our portfolio based on our algorithms last week. And it's only been selling off ever since. And so maybe that part of the market is beginning to wake up to whatever the Fed is doing. Although it's kind of strange response. You would think that financial stocks would go up as the Fed raises rates. So what is the market telling us there? As financials underperform and small caps break down, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, and I'm not in the business of trying to guess what the market's saying. All I really care about is, what does it mean for my risk-on, risk-off approach? Now, I will have you know that yesterday, and I updated this on our website, so rosenthalcapital.com has a, on the homepage there of rosenthalcapital.com, you can follow our real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor of the top five indexes, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100, small caps, and mid caps. And we update right there when something big changes in those indexes. And what happened yesterday is that our long position in mid-caps was taken out. Now, we've been talking about being cautious on mid-caps since the small caps were taken out, because they tend to run together. So now mid-caps have caught up. So the only indexes of the five that were risk on right now is the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ 100. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, it looks like money is hiding in the big names. But oftentimes, small caps are the canary in the coal mine. They die first when danger is around the corner. So that concerns me. It doesn't get me to sell all my stocks, but I definitely look at the portfolio with a nod towards risk reduction a little bit. Now, we're still making a lot of money in other areas of the market, so you don't want to, you know, I'm not taking this and running with it and just selling a whole bunch of things, but suffice it to say, I'm not taking any new small cap positions in the portfolio, whether it be the index or individual stocks. We're focusing our attention on the bigger ETFs and the bigger names. What's interesting to us is that our algorithms are telling us this week to be long FDN, which is the big cap internet names. And if you look at the top five stocks in that index, the Facebooks, the Googles, the Amazons, they look pretty good. So it looks like money's rotating into those names again after they underperform for a while in the midst of the, you know, Facebook, negative press. But it's possible that stock has bottomed and we're getting entry points in the group as money rotates out of the smaller names. So this could just be a rotation out of the smaller names, or it could be the beginning of something sinister. And so we have to keep our eye on that. I don't make a prediction, though. I follow the algorithms. That's what we do on our trading desk. So if small caps can right the ship here, find support and break out above the 50-day moving average again, that coincides with a long risk-on entry signal from our algorithm, then we'll be long the small caps again, and it'll be sky's the limit on the market. You know, nothing's changed. But I wanted to highlight that at the end of this week and at the end of the month, that small caps and mid caps are calling for caution. Let me also highlight this. I watch CNBC, you know, most of the day. Unfortunately, it's something that I have to do just to be aware of what's going on. I usually only turn on the volume for the 12 to 1 o'clock hour where real investors are sharing real information about their portfolio. And early in the morning, maybe around 9 o'clock when Jim Cramer's talking, he's always worth listening to. Nuggets. That man releases nuggets every now and then. You got to listen. The rest of the day, it's on mute. But here's one of the reasons why it's on mute. And I caught this the other day, and it's so ridiculous. At the beginning of this month of September, CNBC likes to talk about their Ken Show algorithms. It's not really an algorithm. It's just looking back over, I don't know, X amount of decades and coming up with examples of what the market tends to do. That's not really an algorithm. That's more like an almanac. And at the beginning of the month of September, they were so happy to highlight that September is the worst month of the year. Ooh, does that mean we should change all of our positions because it's usually the worst month of the year? That's where algorithms come in. Bad information is thrown at you from every angle. CNBC, one exact example of this at the beginning of the month. Look at me, I'm so excited about it. I knock over my microphone. Because it's just so annoying to me, and it's just such an example of how CNBC and other financial networks are really designed to prey on your fear-greed response, which makes it very difficult to make money in the market, okay? I don't care what September's been like over X amount of decades. It means nothing to the market we're in today. We are in a millennial market now. It started after 2008. The financial crisis. Central banks stepped in and completely changed the dynamics of the market, and you add to that the kicker of the rise of the machines, where algorithms prey on emotion, and all of these almanac type of information, they call it information, almanac type of ideas, where this is what's happened over the last 50 or 100 years, really means nothing. The algorithms know you're looking at that, and they're designed to take advantage of it. And we said this on the Armor Report, in our written report. We said, look, don't worry about the month of September just because historically it's a bad month. What are the algorithms saying about this September? The September 2018. And we told you it was saying you needed to be long. We were right. Markets higher into the end of the month. And Armor Report readers and listeners and investors have had a huge month. Because we told you to focus on marijuana stocks, cannabis stocks. MJ was our number one investment idea coming out of the month of August. I don't have to go over that again. You all know how well it's done. We were buying that stock, MJ, at $27 a share in the middle of August. Right now, it's around $39.84. You can do the math. It's a big run. And, of course, we own individual stocks in that space. We've been highlighting the biotechnology aspect of cannabis in GW Pharmaceutical. 146 and a quarter, we're long that asset. Stock's trading at 174. Do the math. Huge run. We've also highlighted on this show the importance of owning shares of IBM. We had a perfect double bottom over a 12-month period with a beautiful entry point using our algorithms that coincides with a company paying a better than 4% dividend yield and going through a turnaround process. Focused on the power of blockchain and how it's driving their business. And in the month of September, IBM stock is outperforming. We're long that stock, 144.72 in our portfolio. It's 151.34 right now. And we're picking up a dividend yield of better than 4%. And the company announces in the month of September, along with Walmart, actually, who made the announcement, that Walmart is requiring all sellers of produce in Walmart in the United States of America will have to be on IBM's blockchain in the next 12 months using IBM's cloud. This is precisely the fundamental story we laid out in the Armor Report. And it's coming to fruition. And this is an ideal example of reward versus risk. Paying 144 and change for IBM with a better than 4% yield and a stock buyback and a turnaround was very low risk. And yet the reward is enormous if we're right on the rollout of blockchain and how it drives their cloud business. This is how we use fundamental information. We do that traditional fundamental information and we use millennial execution of algorithms to tell us when to put the capital to work. That's the month of September Armor Report investors are having. Starting the month out by telling you that September is a dangerous month would be completely detrimental to the investment process and a complete waste of time and information. And it's kind of a shame. I get it. My dad used to give me, when I first started investing in high school, my dad would give me every year Stock Trader's Almanac. It used to be a great way to help you get ready for a particular month or week or what have you and understand trends in the market of you know, decades of trend investing. That all changed after 2008. The information's worthless. You know why? Because it's fed into algorithms that are designed to take advantage of your weaknesses. Don't be led astray. Get tools on your side that'll help you in this market. Okay, I've got 10 minutes left. I want to jump to an example I posted up on Twitter. So take a look at Twitter. I'll give you a minute to get to Twitter, pull it up. Take a look at Brett Rosenthal, at Brett Rosenthal, which is the Armor Report. You can also hashtag Armor Report and you'll get to it. Are you there yet? Okay, click on the picture. My most recent tweet. I want to talk about this. This is an example of algorithms. This is one example of one algorithm that we're working with here. I talk about our algorithms on the big indexes. This is an example of the profitability of our S&P algorithm over the last 5 years. It's a graphical representation. So not only can you see the on the right side of the graph that we're still long this asset, that the magenta dashed line is the stop that we're using right now, the trailed stop. A penetration of that stop in a certain way would require us to go to cash. We're not there yet. So it's a dynamic stop. Just because it goes through that price doesn't mean we're out. I'd have to update you when we're sure we're out. It's just a basic guide. And on the left side of this chart, you can blow it up and you can see some of the statistical numbers. 5 years ago, assuming you put $100,000 in this S&P only strategy, and all that you did was automate the strategy, put $100,000 into a portfolio, and you let the strategy put you 100% into the S&P every time we had an entry signal or risk on signal, and out every time trailed stops were hit or any other stop. You can see the returns. I'm going to highlight a couple of pieces of information. Four lines down is called the profit factor. It's over 12, 12.57 profit factor. Anything over one is profitable. 12 is unreal. It's unheard of. It's profit factor is a gauge of the reward versus risk on a strategy. If it's one to one, if the profit factor is one, it's basically for every dollar you're making, you're losing. It's kind of like a, you know, you're at that cutoff right there of one. It's risky and you make a little bit of money. Every point over one tells you how many dollars you make versus the risk you're taking. 12 is enormous. 12.57 is huge over the last 5 years. Go a little further down. You're going to see a statistic called percentage profitable. 93% profitable. That means 9 out of 10 times that we put money to work in the last 5 years using the algorithm on the S&P, buying shares of the ETF SPY, we ended up making money on the investment. 9 out of 10 times. Now, you've heard me talk about